WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning. It is September 11th. We've been talking about that, about the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. We've been talking about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And as I mentioned earlier, just because I know people will be wondering, it's not the most important part in all of this, but I'm sure the question will come up, what happens to his show? And I don't know, but I know a lot of you looked forward to listening to that every single night. I'm sure maybe now they might put on a guest host or a best of until they figure out what's going to happen. But when we know, we'll let you know. But as I said, you know, not the most important thing right now. Right now it's finding the person who was responsible for this and bringing them to justice. But it is, so we were talking about it here in the station. It is one of our own, even though Charlie Kirk didn't work out of this building and none of us have ever met him, at least as far as I know. He's still part of our station. He's still part of our lineup. He's still part of our WBSM family. In fact, I remember when we brought him on, one of the things we talked about was we should have him like record some of those. You're listening to Charlie Kirk now. Tune in tomorrow for Tim Weisberg, or tune in tomorrow for Chris McCarthy or Barry Richard, you know, like we were going to have him do some of those. And I kept putting it on my list of things to do. And I was like, he's such a busy guy. I don't want to harass him with doing some of those for us. I mean, they do it if you are an affiliate. But I was like, yeah, I'll ask him later. And I never did get around to doing it. But like, he certainly loved being able to speak to people all over the country. He loved the fact that he was on WBSM, as well as all the other stations that carried his program. But he also did a good job of it not feeling like a radio show. You know, to me, it felt very similar to if he was doing a podcast, just having conversations with people. I didn't listen all the time, but, you know, if I was in the car, because my car radio is almost always on WBSM. So if I'm in the car and at that time, I would hear it. Or if I'm still here working, sometimes I am at 10 o'clock at night, I would hear it. And then sometimes it would be, you know, the weekend replays I would catch if I was out and about. But so I don't know what's going to happen. We'll let you know about that when we know. And from the ABC News update, and I was checking during the break as well, like just Googling, because see, here's the thing. I know that ABC News could record those news updates if they wanted to, that they could, you know, do it at 10 of and then just have it ready to go. But they don't do that. They're actually doing that live at the top of the hour. And so what they're giving you there is the absolute latest of what they know. But they still take a few minutes of putting together the newscast before they do. So I was like, let me just see if there's any updates. So I went online and said there's nothing new that I could see. But if anything happens, if any news breaks, we will let you know as soon as we know. But certainly, if you have thoughts on it, you can call in and chime in at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And I got an app chat message in the last hour. I ran out of time by the time I saw it and didn't want to just rush through it. But DL says, I figured the first person you would blame was Trump for the murder of Mr. Kirk. Since you already went there, in my opinion, you should also blame people like yourself that spend every day blasting Trump and his supporters, giving these mentally unstable people the incentive to carry out these heinous acts. Well, let me break that down a little bit. Maybe you missed all of what I was saying. I didn't blame Donald Trump for this. What I was talking about was the need for the discussion that both Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson mentioned last night to get past some of this divide. Now, then Trump made divisive comments right after he said that. You can watch the tape. Whether or not you agree with what Donald Trump said, it doesn't matter. The point is still, he said something that was divisive. And if you don't like hearing that, I can't help you with that. That's just what it was. Secondly, the discussion wasn't about this being Donald Trump's fault. What I said was, I think that, you know, as much as we all need to move past this rhetoric and find this common ground, what I said was that Donald Trump is the one part of that that we can't seem to get past that on. So I wasn't saying that this was Donald Trump's fault. I was saying that Donald Trump as a personality is where that's where it starts with this divide. That's where you had to start picking a team. And when you picked a team, you couldn't have any sympathy or empathy or understanding of the other team. And that's not about Donald Trump, the person. That's about Donald Trump, the phenomenon. So maybe I'm just not doing a good job of explaining what I mean, but I'm certainly not saying that he was responsible for it. What I'm saying is that this division is going to be hard to overcome when that is such a polarizing position that people have one way or another about Donald Trump. And the other part of it of, you know, people who say things being responsible for the actions of other people. I've had this conversation before, but that doesn't fly. It certainly doesn't fly if you don't think that Donald Trump was responsible for January 6th with the things that he said. It's you can't, if I say something on the air, if I say, oh my God, you know, Acme roast beef sandwiches are the worst roast beef sandwiches I've ever had in my life. And nobody goes to Acme roast beef anymore. Not that anybody would really take my opinion on it, but nobody goes there anymore. You know, do they come back and say that I ruined their business? Yeah, they might try to say that. But then what happens when you go to court? Like, he was just giving an opinion. He didn't tell people never to go there. He just said in his experience, it was the worst sandwich he ever had in his life. So it's a very hard thing to blame someone's speech for the actions of another person on any side of the debate. People are responsible for their own actions. And I'm certainly, you can't, and that's why it's even worse that Charlie Kirk was taken out over his opinions. You should be able to have those opinions and not have fear of what someone else might do with those opinions. Just like if Charlie Kirk went on and said, you know, I think women should stay at home and take care of the family. And that's where they belong. And you know, it's the man's job to provide for the family. Just a traditionalist approach. Not saying it's he would say, I mean, it is a sexist thing to say, but he might not mean it in a sexist manner. He might mean it in a traditionalist approach. And if he says that, and then somebody goes home and beats their wife because they didn't cook dinner and take care of the kids while they were gone, Charlie Kirk's not responsible for what happened to that woman. Anyway, 508-996-0500. And also, I think that has the lens of what I'm talking about here, that you're on a team, and so that anything that I say is going to automatically be against your team. You can't get to the why. You only deal with the what. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
You know, I have to tell you, I'm just like, I'm really sick and tired, like a lot of people, about everything's about, regardless what side you're on, that everything's about Donald Trump. Every time something happens, And he comes out and he says something, you know, it's always about Donald Trump for some reason, good, bad, or indifferent. And, you know, and the other issue is the whole mental, we have, a mental problem in this country, you know, with people not getting, you know, the help that they need, which, you know, Tim, I agree. Yes, we do have some sort of mental crisis, and the medical professionals really have become the blame for that, because what happens is, you know, they just really, nowadays, it's not like it used to be. You know, when you used to go see somebody to talk to them, first of all, people, you know, have to wait 6 months for a year to get an appointment. Then when they do go see somebody, you know, either they're hesitant to give medication or they really don't pay attention to what the patient is saying. But my anger all started, and until today, right now, it really angers me about what happened to that poor girl on that train. Mm-hmm. You know, everything now, you know, they're saying he was a schizophrenic and this and that. Well, you know what? I could believe that if that was his first time that he had done that. But when you look at his record and everything he's done, and, you know, he's been out on the street, to turn around and make everything a mental issue, that really, it just angers me, because you have this poor girl. Oh, and the other point I want to really makes me even angrier is that there were people sitting on that bloody train, okay? And nowadays, everybody turns a blind eye to everything. It doesn't matter whether you're a young person, old person, a female, a male. There were men on that train. What happened to the men? I mean, listen, I get it. He had a knife. He didn't have a gun. He had a knife. And he, from what I heard, he was walking around with that knife and, you know, the blood falling all over. Like, why didn't those men? You're telling me now, you know, like in the olden days, if that was like in the olden days, those men on that train.
Well, hold on, though. That's not fair. It's not fair to expect somebody, not everybody.
Well,
Not everybody. No, it's not.
Listen, nowadays, nobody sees, everybody is so wrapped up in themselves. And I'm not saying it's everybody. Oh, you're right. I'm not saying it's everybody. But when we look at things that have been coming up lately, and things that, and you're right, it's not everybody, because many people out there will get involved. And we've had the situation where that guy in New York, you know, had to go to court because, you know, he tried doing something. You're absolutely right. But my point is, you know, people are so wrapped up nowadays in things that, again, you know, try to be more humane. Try to pay attention to your surroundings and try to help people more. And that whole thing, like yesterday with that poor, I don't know much about him. And you're absolutely right. Somebody should not get killed based on whether they're an activist, whether they're a Democrat, whether they're a Republican. This man was a human being that now left behind two little children without a father. But the reason I called was because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised now when they catch this person that shot him, that they're not going to say, too, that he has some kind of mental issue. So let's, because, you know, Tim, regardless, people don't want to believe it. There is a lot of evil that walks the earth, and there are evil people. So to say that, you know, everything's a mental issue.
Well,
let's put things in perspective.
I also think all of this could be a mental issue, but that being a mental issue doesn't excuse what happened. And it doesn't mean that because it was a mental issue, you say, okay, well, we're not going to hold you responsible then because
right.
You're sick.
No, yeah, you're right. And the judicial, and just my final thought, what I think all of this comes down to is that the judicial system is broken. It's been broken for a long time. You get all these judges that just let everybody go. They don't hold them accountable. They don't get whatever time they should get, whether, you know, like this guy that did this to this poor girl, you know, his ass should have been stuck behind bars and not let out. But, you know, I don't know. I just think until the judicial system gets fixed in this country, we're just going to start seeing more and more of this stuff going on. Anyway, I just called because I, you know, I'm just, it just anchors me that we're at a point that we're at right now in society where, I don't know, things are just kind of out of control. Anyway, you have a good day, Tim. Okay?
You as well. And I'll just address a couple of things there before we take some more calls. And callers, hang on, we'll get to you. But like I was saying, you know, it does, just because it's a mental issue doesn't mean that the person can't face punishment for that. And that's, I mean, obviously we needed to be more understanding about people who have mental problems, but people who take it to a criminal level are still responsible for their actions and still should be held accountable for their actions. So, you know, yes, sometimes there are things that happen because people are sick and they can't help it. But obviously that person having that pattern of what's been going on shows that whatever you're trying to do to help them isn't working, and you're not going to fix them. And I don't think you needed any more proof than the person's criminal record. Now, again, we say the judicial system is broken, and it is, but I think you also can't always blame the judges. I mean, you have to look at every individual decision that's made and what the judge said about it. But I think a lot of times that there's blame put on judges where they have their hands cuffed a little bit by what the laws allow them to do. And so, you know, maybe the laws need to be looked at when it comes to dealing with people who have a mental health issue, because there's got to be some responsibility for, you were in therapy, you were doing this, you were supposed to be on medication and you didn't do any of those. So we can't excuse this thing that you did. We tried to help you and yet you still committed this criminal act. And then the other part of that is she mentioned at the beginning that, you know, everything gets blamed on Donald Trump, and she started hearing about Donald Trump. I mean, that just comes with the territory. You know, the same way that when Joe Biden was the president, you know, everything was Joe Biden's fault. It's just when you're at the top of everything, you know, as to quote Harry Truman, the buck stops here. And so that's the case. And so that's, you're going to suffer those slings and arrows either way. But at the same time, if you are also inserting yourself into all of these things and commenting on them, not Donald Trump, just anybody that's a president, they have to, you know, comment on these things that happen. You know, that's going to direct everybody's attention to what they're saying, because again, they're at the top of everything. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yes, thought I'd call up. I watched a lot of Charlie Kirk's videos on the internet, and I thought he was great. Just to say that he didn't deserve to happen to him, especially in front of his wife and his two kids. You know, he engaged with people, you know, in a healthy debate. I think it was a good thing. He was always respectful to the students he talked to, and it was a good conversations.
I mean, I will say, I don't think he was always respectful.
No, I just want to say that, but he had healthy debates on your side and their side and all that stuff.
But I think he was just as prone to, just as much as the students got worked up, he would get worked up too. But like you said, he'd walk away from it at the end of it saying, like,
right,
okay, you know, things got a little heated, but in the end, you know, we're still friends.
It was a debate. You're there, you know, you have a different opinion, and he expressed his opinion. And but I, very charismatic man, and I think, you know, it's really sad what happened to Charlie Kirk. You know, who knows what his future would have been. And I enjoyed his show. I enjoyed him.
Thank you so much. Yep. And thank you for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
You have a good day. Let's get a few more in here, and then I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. You know, I think Charlie Kirk mainly just interacted with people just to get them to see a different perspective. He never attacked anybody. It was never personal when he interacted with people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think that he. I think if you insulted him to his face, he didn't take it personally.
No, I don't think he did. And as far as, like, you know, people saying, like, the lady that spoke earlier about where were all the men, we neutered them. That's all you hear, toxic masculinity. You know, who the hell wants to get involved when you're the one that's going to go to court. You're the one that's going to be, you know, liable for anything you do. God forbid you lay your hands on somebody and somebody gets hurt. You know, doesn't matter that you were trying to protect someone. You know, it's just, we neutered everybody.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's just,
we just have.
I don't know that it's just that necessarily. I mean, if somebody is pulling out a knife and murdering somebody in front of you, it's a natural reaction for people to have that fight or flight. And I don't expect people to stand there and be the next person to get stabbed and murdered if that's the case. I would hope if I'm the one getting stabbed, somebody would try to step in and stop it. But if they didn't do it, I'm not, you know, blaming them for the fact that I died.
But we punish people every time this happens and somebody steps in and it doesn't go, you know, it doesn't go picture perfect. They get punished. You know, we had that Marine on the subway and the guy died. And what happened to him? They tried to throw the book at him, you know. And as far as like the mental health stuff, I remember a few years back, you guys had a story on WBSM of somebody who had 87 prior convictions and then killed somebody. And everybody was shocked, like, he had 87. I read it. You guys printed it. 87 interactions. Why was he out on the street?
Yeah, I don't know.
Crazy. So.
All right. Thank you for the call. And let me take one more here before I have to take the break, and we'll get into the app chat message and everything. But I have the break and then the news coming up. But let's take this call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Anyway, I was so upset about Charlie Kirk because I listened to him every night.
Yeah, I know. I know you were a big listener of his. Yeah.
Oh, I loved him. I even was crying. The thing is, he was a good man and a good person, and we're losing too many good people. You know what I mean? To these monsters that are killing them. But he's in heaven. He had great faith. He loved God and Jesus, and he was trying to do the right thing and a good thing. I wasn't a big Trump supporter, but I was brought up to love my country and whoever became the president, to stand by him and pray that they do a good job. And I never renege on that, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I'm so glad that Donald Trump came up and stood up and said, because like three people already got killed while he's in office. And like the guy that took the bullet when he almost got killed, he last night he gave a speech about that. And I was happy that he stood up and said, you know, that guy that took the bullet in Pennsylvania and now Charlie Kirk really was. I listened, and Charlie Kirk really pushed hard for him to become president. And I even made comments to my friends that, you know, I don't think Donald Trump would have made it without him, because he really got the youth involved. And he was really, I don't know, but he was good all the way around. I just loved him for the person he was. And as far as that girl saying this just now, it's true. I got attacked. Okay, I can say it right from the horse's mouth. Everybody left. The whole place cleared out. The guy that I knew personally, that I talked to, that I bought pitchers of beer, he works at, I can't say the place, I guess. Anyway, I'm a Christian. I still talk to him. He never helped me. Never took the person off me, never helped me. I'm still standing. You know what I mean? I walk my life with God. Myself, you know what I mean? That's why I was really so much into Charlie Kirk, because he was a true Christian.
All right, well,
the world's in bad shape. It's really sad.
Well,
it's really sad. It's getting worse too every day.
I said earlier, you know, maybe this becomes the turning point, no pun intended, because that was Charlie Kirk's organization. But maybe this becomes that moment where we say, okay, this is enough. And so then at least, you know, that can be what he stood for, is that this was what inducted that, induced that change.
We know what we're hoping, but you know what? The world's really too far gone. Unless they, I really believe this, unless people go back to God, and I was listening all night, Tim, I'm not making it up. It's the truth. And to Syndicate last night, and everybody came to that conclusion in the end about the world. And they took it out of school. People just don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, and because it's not everybody's belief. And so it shouldn't be pushed on people if it's not their belief.
No, I know. But this is why, if you look at these things logically, it's really what's wrong with the world. And there's no love in the world anymore.
Well, that part is fair.
Everybody does just care about themselves. The way they drive, come on, Tim, everything. You can't even cross the street where they're just about running you over. It's just too much. The more I can be alone, the better I like it. It's peaceful. I saw a hummingbird yesterday, came right to my window, and I don't even feed them. You know, it's like, because I have God all around me. So, I mean, I do flowers, and I'm a godly woman. I'm a good person. I'm into it. So my spirituality is up there, but I'm not perfect. But, you know, that's what I'm into. And I've been hurt so many times, and I'm not the type that would retaliate because I'm into God. Somebody else that isn't into God, when you get hurt, they go back. Like what happened to me just that last time, somebody else would have went back there and did something. You know what I mean? That's the difference in when you have God in your life and when you don't. Because the Bible tells you to let God.
You don't need God to be a good person.
I know, but God will do the vindication. Let God do it. Not you. Don't take anything into your own hands. And obviously, this person was very angry, whoever it was, and it was either he was. I don't know, but I know what Charlie Kirk stood for. He was against abortions. He was deeply into God. He was against transgenderism. I know what he stood for. He stood for Trump. So when I sit here and try to figure it out, something along these lines in this, what I'm talking about, either triggered that person who was a monster to do something like he did. And I hope they catch him. And Trump says they're going to do it to the fullest. So I hope they get this person. And like they said, it was sophisticated. It was planned. It was planned out. He had to be a real sharpshooter. Because he was quite far away and he targeted it just right. So, and it sounds like it was planned, and it was a sophisticated job. Right. So anyways, it's just such a sad thing with his beautiful wife and two children that he left behind and so young.
All right. I got to hold you there, but, I would say keep listening, because I've got a feeling they'll probably be playing, you know, some of his best moments in tribute to him today. But we'll let you know when we know more about where that's going to go. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And I got to go to the break here, and then we'll go to the news, and then we'll take a little respite from some of this with the Gen X Files, and then we can take more of your thoughts and calls on Charlie Kirk on September 11th, on so much more. We'll be right back.
The president and vice president remember 9/11. COVID no longer a top 10 cause of death, and concerns growing over using AI chatbots.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance letting America know what their plans for 9/11 are.
President Trump will attend a remembrance ceremony at the National 9/11 Pentagon Memorial in Arlington, Virginia. Later, Trump will be in New York watching a Yankees-Tigers baseball game in person with families of fallen 9/11 first responders. Vice President J.D. Vance will be in Manhattan at Ground Zero for the annual 9/11 commemoration. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
President Trump says conservative activist Charlie Kirk has died after a shooting on a college campus in Utah. It happened yesterday during an outdoor Turning Point rally at Utah Valley University near Provo. Kirk was shot while speaking to hundreds of students. We'll have more on this throughout the morning at WBSM.com and at the top of the hour with ABC News. More than a dozen people facing legal trouble after being arrested by Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday.
Capitol Police confirmed the arrests of 14 housing protesters in the Dirksen Senate Office Building cafeteria. The protesters were arrested for crowding, obstructing, or incommoding. President Trump's control of the Metropolitan Police Department in D.C. was set to expire on Wednesday, but the National Guard's order was extended through December. I'm Brian Shook.
COVID-19 is no longer in the top 10 leading causes of death in the U.S., according to data from the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. The top three leading causes of death now are heart disease, cancer, and unintentional injury. Data found the death rate fell by 3.8% in 2024, which signals a decline to pre-pandemic levels. Researchers suggest fewer COVID-19 deaths are likely driving the decline in the nation's overall death rate. At least three students injured after a shooting at a Denver area high school. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office says the shooting happened at Evergreen High School around 12:30 yesterday afternoon. Sheriff spokesperson Jackie Kelly says more than 100 first responders headed to the school as quickly as possible.
I understand the worry and the concern. Like I said, the entire metro area came up here to help. A lot of them self-deployed, and we sure appreciate it because you don't know what you have until you get here.
The first ever clergy sex abuse civil trial against the Catholic Church in New Jersey starting this week, and it involves a well-known Catholic school. Here's Scott Pringle.
There are numerous allegations against Del Barton in Morristown related to alleged abuse by a monk that date back to the 1970s. The trial kicking off this week involves a lawsuit filed by a former student who's accusing the operator of the school for allowing the alleged abuse to happen. Other abuse allegation cases involving Del Barton and others against the Catholic Church in New Jersey have previously been settled without the church admitting liability.
Concerns are rising over children using AI chatbots after reports of questionable and even dangerous interactions, particularly using Meta's platform.
Robbie Torney with Common Sense Media, which advocates for young people, says Meta's AI safety systems are inherently broken.
We did testing of core safety functionality that should have been there. And when we simulated users in crisis, the system regularly failed to help.
Meta says new safety measures are being put in place to prevent its AI from discussing self-harm, suicide, eating disorders, and inappropriate topics with teens. Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts has called for a ban on minors even accessing chatbots, claiming he warned Mark Zuckerberg 2 years ago about the dangers. He says his concerns were ignored. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
It was the A's over the Red Sox yesterday afternoon, 5-4. Sox off tonight. They'll host the Yankees tomorrow night at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We're looking for tons of sunshine for today, and after a rather chilly start, temperatures should top out near 75. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low near 56, and the sun will shine again for Friday with a high closer to 70. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, we are going to continue on with the discussion about Charlie Kirk's assassination and anything else you want to discuss. But I do have to bring you the Gen X Files, because not only do we need a little respite, but it's also sponsored. So we have to do it. And also I think we could use a little something to take our mind off of things. But before I get into that, I do want to take my next break so I can keep us on track. So we'll take the break and then we'll come back immediately after that with today's edition of the Gen X Files. Stick around. Oh, and by the way, it's Thursday, so we've got your chance to win a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. Okay, we'll be right back. All right, we are tight on time, so let's get right to it.
The Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. Brian De Palma, director of films such as Stephen King's Carrie, The Untouchables, and the first Mission Impossible film, turns 85 years old today. Amy Madigan, who starred in Field of Dreams and Uncle Buck, is 75. Scott Patterson of the Gilmore Girls is 67, while John Hawks from Deadwood is 66. Actress Elizabeth E.G. Daly, who played Dottie in Pee-wee's Big Adventure and later was the voice of Tommy Pickles on Rugrats. Yeah, but she didn't know they were the same person. She turns 64, as does actress Virginia Madsen. Musician Moby is 60, and crooner Harry Connick Jr. turns 58. Actress Taraji P. Henson is 55, rapper Ludacris is 48, and Jurassic Park kid Ariana Richards is all grown up. She's 46 years old today. In 1971, the animated Jackson 5 series, the Jackson 5, with the F replaced by the number 5, premiered in the U.S. on ABC. Speaking of television premieres, on this date in 1974, Little House on the Prairie premiered on NBC. September 11th, 1977, the Atari 2600 was released, one of the first home video game consoles that really caught on with the general public. In 1977, David Bowie recorded a guest appearance on Bing Crosby's Merry Old Christmas TV show, duetting with Crosby for a medley of Peace on Earth and Little Drummer Boy. The now iconic performance was one of Crosby's last recordings before his death the following month. In 1982, John Cougar Mellencamp became the only male artist to have two singles in the U.S. top 10, as well as the number one album. Jack and Diane landed at number 4, while Hurt So Good came in at number 8. His album American Fool maintained the top spot for 9 weeks. In 1987, reggae star Peter Tosh was tragically murdered in Kingston, Jamaica. Tosh rose to fame as a founding member of the Wailers alongside Bob Marley and Bunny Wailer. After leaving the group in the mid-70s, Tosh established a successful solo career. September 11th, 1993, Mariah Carey started an 8-week run at number 1 on the singles chart with Dream Lover. In 1995, Sailor Moon made its debut in the U.S. for the first time. And on September 11th, 1996, Noel Gallagher walked out on the rest of Oasis halfway through an American tour after a fight with his brother Liam in a hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina. Noel flew back to London the following day. That's the Gen X Files for September 11th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where you can win one right now for free if you can answer our Brain Freeze question of the week. On this date in 1954, the Miss America contest was televised for the first time. The winner later became famous as a Batman villain. Who was she? If you know the answer, 508-996-0500, and you are going to win some free ice cream. That is the Gen X Files for today. Right now, we got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Right. Congratulations to Jim. He won some free ice cream. He knew the answer to the question. The Brain Freeze question of the week. On this date, 1954, the Miss America contest was televised for the first time. The winner later became famous as a Batman villain. Who was she? It was Lee Merriweather. So in addition to being Miss America in 1955, she also played Catwoman on, she was one of the two Catwomen on the 1966 Batman television series. The other.